The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Providence. It's not a word you hear very often today. It wasn't always that way, though. A few hundred years ago, providence was in common use to describe the care or benevolent guidance of God. In fact, providence was even used as a synonym for God, to focus on his wise guidance and direction of all things according to his great love and mercy. The reason this word shows up in the sermon theme this morning is because the text for the Epiphany of our Lord reveals God's providence at every turn. We see his foresight and guiding and protecting and providing, all focused on the salvation of sinners, even in the face of human unbelief and outright opposition to him. To start, consider the star. The wise men who came from the east were stargazers, probably some combination of what we today would recognize as astronomers and astrologers. They could distinguish an unusual celestial event from the ordinary movement of the heavenly bodies. But their interest almost certainly also involved superstition and false belief, as if the stars controlled things on earth. These men were not members of God's people, not worshipers of the one God. Nevertheless, God attracted their attention by this special revelation in order to draw them to the Savior. The star was a message from God in the language that they could understand, bringing them first into contact with the Scripture through the chief priests and scribes of his people, and then through the Scriptures into contact with the divine Word himself, incarnate as the Son of the Virgin Mary. The star in the sky was like an engraved invitation for the wise men, an invitation from God. Through this heavenly light, he was drawing them to the true light which had come into the world, the light that enlightens every man, his Son, Jesus Christ. When the star led the wise men to Jerusalem in search of the newborn king of the Jews, their inquiry stirred up a hornet's nest. King Herod was extremely wary to any threat to his throne. Over the years, he had killed two of his sons, a wife, her mother, and a brother-in-law, all because he believed that they were plotting to take his place. It wouldn't be long before he'd add a couple of dozen little boys from Bethlehem to that list. It's no wonder at all, then, that all Jerusalem was troubled. Again and again, Herod had shown that there were no limits to the measures he would take to hold on to his kingship. And yet, under God's providence, Herod's concern served the interests of the wise men. For his own reasons, Herod was quite solicitous of their request. He gathered those Jewish leaders and inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They replied that the prophet Micah had written the answer some 7 centuries earlier by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In Bethlehem of Judea, only a half a dozen miles or so from Jerusalem. But Micah didn't just provide an answer to the question where. There in Herod's palace, through Micah's prophecy, the Lord revealed to all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and to Herod himself, that the ruler born in Bethlehem would shepherd his people Israel. In this child, whose birth he had announced with the star, God was keeping his promise given so powerfully through the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel. His promise to shepherd his people, to strengthen the weak, to heal the sick, to bind up the injured, to bring back those who had strayed, and to seek out the lost. By the question of the wise men, the Lord was giving the leaders of his people cause to consider again his promises. And more than that, was giving them notice of this great thing that he was doing. It wasn't as flashy as an angel choir singing glory to God in the night sky. But it was notice nonetheless of the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. We might wonder that none of the chief priests or scribes seem to have decided to investigate this newborn king. They certainly were well aware that Micah was far from the only one to prophesy concerning Messiah, that in nearly every book of the Old Testament there was something pointing forward to one who would come, one through whom God would deliver his people, one in whom every nation on the earth would be blessed. Perhaps they were cautious because Herod was troubled. That would have been prudent. But it hardly should have overcome the excitement and joy of hearing that the one promised by God had finally come. Or perhaps their reaction is a foreshadowing of the way their successors would react to Jesus during his public ministry. They were only the first to recognize Jesus as a threat to the status quo. Jesus has the right to expect that we recognize him as Lord and conform our desires and actions to his will. In our wickedness, however, we're tempted to ignore him when our wishes conflict with his expectations. Herod's response seems much more appropriate, meeting with the wise men and sending them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Worship. That's the proper response to the birth of the Christ, to God's gift of his Son to save sinners, to save you and me. And yet Herod's words were hypocritical. Ascertaining the time when the star had appeared wouldn't have helped him worship the child. Other motives were at play for him. He wanted this information to know how wide to cast his net when he would execute his plan to eliminate this threat to his throne. Yet once again we see God's providence. Herod's violent rage would not succeed in defeating God's plan for salvation. The Christ child would live to die another day, to die at the appointed time, to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for you and for me and for every sinner ever. In warning the wise men in a dream not to return back to Herod, God was preserving his son so that he could complete his mission as the Lamb of God, so that he could take away the sin of the world. Jesus' work for you had only just begun. His life of perfect obedience, his proclamation of the kingdom, his seeking the lost and bringing them to repentance and faith, his facing temptation and overcoming it, all of these things remain to be accomplished before he could provide for your salvation by taking your place and suffering and dying to pay the price of your sin. When they left Jerusalem, the wise men rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Matthew doesn't want us to miss this. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, because the star went before them and was leading them to the place where the child was. God, who by a star had called them from their homes, now brought their journey to its goal. There, with Mary, his mother, they finally saw the infant king, the Son of God in the flesh, their Lord, their Savior. They bowed down before him and worshiped him. Whatever it was the wise men had believed before the star rose, God was now revealing to them something they could never have imagined. Through the star and by the prophet Micah, God had provided them with the knowledge of his Messiah, the glory of his people Israel, but also a light for the nations. This was the one through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed, the one who would redeem the world from sin, the one who would save sinners from death and from hell. Gladly they worshipped him and offered him the treasures that they had brought, gold and frankincense and myrrh, those last two ancient medicines, along with fragrances. They rejoiced to bring these gifts to him who had come to bring them the gifts of life and salvation, the greatest gifts of God's providence. You've probably heard the irreverent joke which suggests that only men would think to bring these sorts of gifts for a baby. But in this too we see God's providence. Joseph was a godly man, willingly did as the angel instructed, and took the pregnant virgin Mary as his wife. But he was not a wealthy man. These precious gifts, provided by God through the wise men, would enable Joseph to care for his family when they fled by night to Egypt in order to escape Herod's wrath. And so these gifts, too, were the providence of God for your salvation, to save your Savior. This text is a wonderful example of God's providence, of his gracious and merciful working in all things for good, in order to provide salvation for sinners. To hear how he worked and accomplished his gracious purposes, even in the face of unbelief and murderous opposition, encourages and strengthens faith in his wisdom and power, that it will be sufficient also in your life and for your salvation. God grant you then to be confident in his providence to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.